On today's episode of State Your Line, we celebrate 3 years of the podcast and look back on some of our favorite memories from all of our shows and favorite guests. We also cover some openings and closings around the city, what we tried this week. State Your Line even investigates the West Bottoms this week. And then we finish it off with a mixed plate of the best guest in State Your Line history. So lots to listen to today, so stick around.
Kansas City is home to a rich brewing history dating back to the 1880s when Ferdheim and George Muehlbach and the marks they made can still be seen today throughout the city. Prohibition took its toll on the breweries in KC, but in 1989, Boulevard Brewing Company founder John McDonald rekindled that brewing tradition when he brewed and sold his first batch of pale ale. More than 30 years later, the spirit of Kansas City can-do attitude is in everything Boulevard does. From creating Tank 7, an award-winning American Saison, to brewing Space Camper Cosmic IPA, an exhilarating exploration into the universe of hops, to developing one of the nation's largest barrel aging programs, and even more recently with the introduction of Quirk Hard Seltzers, Real Fruit, Real Fun. At the heart of Boulevard Brewing Company lies the intersection of traditional brewing and modern technology. Visit the brewery and take a tour for free to sip and see 32 years of brewing experience and maybe catch a glimpse of the future to where that Kansas City spirit of innovation will lead. Boulevard Brewing Company, Kansas City, Missouri. Welcome into State Your Line, a podcast for Kansas Cityans by Kansas Cityans, presented by Boulevard Beer. We are the Ritz Brothers. Today is, May 10th.
May 10th.
And it's been 3 years that the pod has been running.
That's insane.
Props to us. Episode every single week for 3 years.
Have not missed.
We've been delayed a day maybe here and there.
Really?
Just once or twice.
Okay.
I think you had a baby.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, you have had
two babies since the start of this podcast,
and so one of them delayed the podcast.
Yeah.
But other than that, we've hit our marks every week.
That's insane. So this is episode 158. So yeah, that makes 52 episodes. 52 times. So yeah, in there ish.
Yeah.
Right around.
There's a leap year in there too.
Yeah. Sure. But yeah, I can't believe that, and the fact that we haven't missed an episode, I mean, massive, massive credit to us, obviously. But 3 years, to think about like when we started this, I didn't own a home. I had just gotten married, and now I have a house and two kids.
Nice.
Like we started this in my apartment, you know, just like on a table. It was crappy, and now we're in Let It Fly Media Studios with Boulevard sponsoring it, and I have two children.
So a lot has changed.
Dad casting.
Where
were you?
I was just a young single man with a broken ankle.
Yeah.
Looking for a new hobby. Ankle. With a bum ankle. And I get married in just 20 days. So a lot has changed for me.
So the moral of the story is if you start a podcast, all your dreams will come true.
All of them.
You will find the love of your life, which you did.
Check.
And you will have children, which I did, and buy a house, which I did.
Yep.
So that's the moral of the story, I think. But yeah, it is. It's wild to think about. We appreciate everyone sticking with us. We've had some ups and downs in listenership, but I feel like we've always stayed steady with a steady group. People have come and gone, but a steady group, the Boulevard sponsorship over the last four or 5 months.
Some big highlights that from this year, that being one of them.
Yeah.
The Boulevard sponsorship, which has been awesome to partner with them, get to know more about the Quirk brand, behind the scenes, what goes on with the beer. We've gotten a look behind the curtain, which has been awesome. It's allowed us to partner with Let It Fly, which has been an incredible partnership too. We look super professional now with cameras, professional equipment. We've got our professional producer as well. We had Lead Bank sponsor 10 episodes this year.
That was awesome.
As well. And then we've appeared on TV
also this year.
A couple times on Fox 4.
Okay. Siri.
Siri, shut up.
But yeah, so big things.
Yeah.
Big highlights from this year.
We interviewed the owner of a baseball team.
Uh-huh.
Fact. Not John Sherman, which, man, we need to get him on.
We're getting there.
But Jesse Cole, the owner of the Savannah Bananas, his squad was just in town and put on a show.
Yeah.
Such a big show, they did a second show and came back the next day because it sold out and was such an awesome experience. So we had him on. We had an awesome argument about Dua Lipa.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was one of the highlights of this year. We did a spicy noodle challenge with someone who has 2 million YouTube subscribers. So
mm-hmm.
huge deal there. I think you only deleted one interview.
Just one, which one a year is,
one a year is
what I do.
Pretty decent.
Uh-huh. Exactly. So
not, I'm not
good
bad.
For one a year.
We sold koozies.
Sold koozies. Got more. We got more.
More
in
to
case
sell.
You want them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. We lost every single award. That we were up for.
We did, but we were nominated.
But we were nominated.
We were on the list.
But we lost. In our first year, I think we won every single award that we were nominated for. Our voters have just gotten a little stale.
The competition's gotten a little stiffer.
That's
when
true.
When we broke into this market in 2019, there weren't as many podcasts,
mm-mm.
like locally branded podcasts.
Nope.
But I'd like to think we inspired a lot. Especially the one that's titled Kansas City's Only Podcast.
Yeah, come on, Kansas City Magazine. yeah. What other? What else?
We had some awesome guests this year. Some big guests. I got a top five list
based on what listeners
listenership.
Okay.
Listenership number five with Josh Brewster from Truzzolo.
Okay.
So shout out to Josh for bringing the audience,
and shout out to Truzzolo, who's been an awesome partner with us, and
that is true,
and has basically started the Boulevard relationship. Truzzolo did, and kind of got them on our first interview with Boulevard, which led to the relationship with Boulevard.
And gets us to influencer events, too.
And gets us to influencer events, and brings us guests.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, big shout-out, Truzzolo.
Yep. Sam Mellinger coming in at number four. We had him on back in April to talk about his new role as the Vice President of Communications for the Royals.
Communicate this shit record, Sam.
we had another episode, Randy Williams, the director of the Kansas City Art Institute.
Okay, yeah.
Was a big episode because we also announced our partnership with Let It Fly and Boulevard.
That's right.
That was a big episode back in December.
Number two.
That was number two is Tim Grunhard, who we talked to at the end of March.
Mm-hmm.
And
I really regret not asking him about all of his commercials on 810, where he talks about the blue gum that uh-huh. he chews, I think, which is a boner gum,
mm-hmm.
a sex enhancement gum. I can't believe I forgot to ask him about that.
Yeah, that was a big miss. And back on the list again this year, Max Kaniger was our top episode of Canby's Markets.
Love it.
A lead bank episode that we did with Max. He always brings the heat, brings the listeners too. So
obviously,
those were our top episodes this year,
as far as guests and listeners. Yeah.
Guests and listeners.
So yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's been a heck of a 3 years. We're about 94,000 downloads for the podcast, which is nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and promise and say we're going to do something special for the 100,000th download, and then totally forget about it, and
okay.
then scramble like we did just now.
Okay. Deal. I'll see you at that 100,000.
I'll see you at that 100,000 mm-hmm. when we eventually realize it, when we're at like 103.
Uh-huh. Yep. Well, no one needs to know, you know. All right. So, again, pat ourselves on the back there. But to everybody who's partnered with us, listen, thank you so much for your support. Let's get into the episode. Let's talk some openings.
Oh, shout out to our accountant who does the taxes for our 501c3.
Oh.
Or not our 501c3, our LLC, State Your Line.
Okay.
If you need a personal accountant, let me know, and I will hook you up.
All right. Let's see. Let's jump into some openings. Let's get into the episode. We've got a few around town.
No, what? You don't want to talk Royals?
Do you?
We have to.
Oh, I was just going to avoid it.
They're the worst team in the American League.
Like, I was going to avoid it.
They're trash. I think we need to drag them a little bit.
Okay.
Do you want to start?
Or
do you, like, it's officially, we can drag. Like, we have an optimistic brother-in-law who has been trying to stay optimistic in the brother-in-law's.
I've tried to
stay optimistic this year,
in the group chat, and he's been mad at us. He's been saying it's too early to already be down in the dumps when me and my other brother-in-law have been down in the dumps, and the other brother-in-law has been trying to stay positive. He's given us permission to go full drag now because they suck. I mean, they're awful. Nothing has worked. I guess, you know, MJ Melendez and Bobby Baseball aren't horrible, and they look like they're developing, but the pitching is awful. 38-year-old Zach Greinke's, and I guess Brad Keller's good, but they're awful. I mean, they're on pace for 106 losses. The projection is actually 72-90, so not as bad as 106. But we're so bad at coaching. Mm-hmm. We're really, really bad at coaching. We cannot get talent out of players. We're really, really bad at transactions. So that only leads to one answer, and that is Dayton Moore. And I mean, we have talent. They don't develop. We don't. I mean, Whit Merrifield is the worst batter in the major leagues by a long shot, like not even close. He's about like 20 points separated on average, 40 points separated on base percentage, and like 121 points from second to last place and OPS. So he plays every single day, and he's by far the worst batter in the majors. We should have traded him 3 years ago when he was worth like a haul, but we were afraid people would show up to the games and not have a jersey to wear of a player on the team. That's your fault, Dayton Moore. You've been wrong so many times. You don't have this thing figured out. You cannot manage a baseball team. It's this season's over. Next season's over. It sucks. This is the worst. It
sucks. Yeah, being out of contention in May sucks. Like last year, we were at least had that kind of fake start to keep us excited through the month of May. But now it just already seems like, okay, it's over. This team sucks. And we're going to keep watching Ryan O'Hearn hit, which is really not fun.
He had an RBI today.
He did. Bobby Witt stole second. So like after that top of the first, I was like, look at this. Little Royals putting some fight in this game. But yeah, it's hard to watch. And then just, I don't know.
Literally hard to watch because our organization has a deal with Bally Sports where you can't watch the team. But yeah.
Why did that graphic have to go viral today of the franchises with the most losses since the year 2000?
I'm glad we made it so viral.
It just seemed like a stray bullet for us to catch just for being the worst franchise in the last 22 years.
Yep. Most losses, worst record.
That was out of nowhere.
Major
like, no one was talking about it. And it's like the year 2022, so it's not a round year where like a list like that should come out. But here it is, just caught us. And Dayton Moore's been running that ship since 2006. So
not only that, but the AL Central sucks. Mm-hmm. We're in the worst division in baseball by a long shot, and we've been competitive twice.
Yeah,
we've been competitive twice in the worst division in baseball. Like if you look at that stat, like the worst records of the last 22 years, it's like Royals are one, Detroit is close there, and the White Sox, and I mean like no one is good in our division and we still suck.
Yeah, it's frustrating, that's for sure. I mean, to the point where I was in Washington DC this weekend and I didn't even know the Royals were there.
Yeah,
that maybe it's just me being a bad fan.
Well,
but
it was a wedding weekend for you coming off a bachelor party weekend,
but still
mush brain.
Like I would have been interested in that game had the Royals made any kind of noise or if I could watch them on TV.
Yeah.
Those two things.
It's organizational failure in every aspect. Any way you look at it, it is organizational failure. It's not injuries piling up. It's not bad luck. It's not playing in the best division. It's just our organization stinks. And that's Dayton Moore. From the top down.
He built it.
We should have traded Whit Merrifield. I mean, we'll probably like extend Zach Greinke at this point. Like We'll probably hold on to him. We probably won't trade Greinke away. And then I was listening today too. The Greinke trade that happened that defined our organization and led to the World Series. Dayton and Ned did not want that trade to happen. Mm-hmm. They basically, Zach forced their hand. They did everything they could to keep Zach Greinke. Zach Greinke forced their hand, so then they had to trade him, even though they didn't want to. That trade led to Lorenzo Cain and Alcides Escobar and a lot of other pieces that helped us win the World Series. But Dayton Moore did not want that trade to happen. And So we basically lucked into a World Series at this point. It's over. The Royals suck. It's down bad.
You're down bad.
I'm down very bad. Well, there's no reason to root for this team. I mean, Bobby Wood Jr., there's literally one reason to root for this team. Salvi sucks. Merrifield sucks. Like, it's awful.
Yeah, let's hope. Hey, here comes some warm weather, Danny. Gonna warm the bats up. Can you talk yourself into that?
Nope.
Here's what you can talk yourself into, though. They've got tickets that are basically free.
Okay.
So you buy a $9 ticket, they give you $8 of food.
Okay,
with
I love
the ticket.
That.
They,
love
you
that.
Buy a $17 ticket, they give you $15 worth
Let's
of food
go.
And beer.
I'll take James.
So that's what you've got to look forward okay. to. That's it.
Roger that.
That's it. That you can basically go to a game and get a beer for free or get the ticket for
Is
free.
Is beer count?
Or is that food and drink?
Probably soda.
Maybe. But yeah. Still, I'll eat $8 worth of stadium food and regret
for
it
sure.
later.
Easy.
I'll eat $15 worth of helmet nachos and regret it later. So you've got that to get out to the ballpark for. Yeah. So, all right. Now let's move into some openings. Or we could talk, a baseball game that sold a lot of tickets this weekend.
Savannah Bananas.
The Savannah Bananas back-to-back sellouts.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they split because they do the weird run scored. Like basically you play an inning at a time.
Oh, yeah, and you win an inning,
you win a game. You win a
point. So there's 9 walk-offs, right?
Yes.
That's the idea?
That's the idea. So the Monarchs won the first game Friday, Bananas won game 2. Johnny Gomes.
Oh, yeah, Johnny
DH'd
Gomes.
DH'd and pinch hit.
Nice.
And it looked pretty electric out there to have that many fans coming to town.
What's that noise? Ooh. FaceTime the computer. Let it fly.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Are we still recording?
Yeah. Okay. Sweet.
Okay. So let's get into Casey Cajun.
Openings.
Casey Cajun coming to town. This sounds like delicious po' boys, which I'm always in the mood for.
Not coming to town because they've been here. So Casey Cajun was started by Ezra England. He is from Mississippi. And has Cajun roots. He started it as a catering company in 2016, and then he had a food truck since like 2017, so he's had a food truck for the last 4 or 5 years. Obviously, the food truck industry took a beating in COVID, as did the catering industry and restaurant industry. But so we had plans to open a brick and mortar store for a long time. Finally got to do it thanks to a grant from Gift, who we had on. Gift is
Brandon
a nonprofit
Calloway.
That is generating income for tomorrow, is what that stands for. And it gives grants to Black-owned businesses in the Kansas City area. So Casey Cajun is open now. It opened on May 3rd. Cajun food. They're famous for the alligator po' boy, other po' boy sandwiches, Cajun pastas, authentic Cajun food. It looks amazing. This is on 27th and Indiana, so east side. This is like east of Paseo, east of Benton, 27th in Indiana, even east of Indiana a little bit. But looks amazing. Ezra has big plans for the neighborhood. He wants to try to rejuvenate that neighborhood and bring more restaurants and bring more businesses to the area. So that's Casey Cajun. It is open now. It opened on May 3rd.
Sounds awesome. Alligator. It's not something you can get in Kansas City at every place.
Not normally.
All right. Also,
what would be the equivalent of
Gator?
Yeah, of gator.
Like for someone on the coast.
Yeah,
to eat.
Like possum or something.
Rabbit? No.
Do they have Do they have possums in like?
Yeah.
In the south, and
they do.
Yeah. I guess it's like I don't know, cow barbecue.
Yeah,
but
I
that's
guess
pretty.
So.
Everyone has that.
Yeah. I was going to say frogs, but no, they got that in the South too. Yeah, I don't know what a good equivalent would be. We don't have that much stuff that's like
unique,
super rare or unique to the Midwest that's not spread everywhere.
Yeah.
Like gators.
Corn.
All right. Let's see. Also opening up, is it Rolling Acres in Liberty, Missouri?
Just Acre, dog.
Just Acre?
Yeah, dude. It's a trendy restaurant. It has to be
Acre,
a short
period.
One name. One word name that is kind of ambiguous a little bit. That's how you name a trendy new restaurant.
Oh, okay, because it's kind of named after the chef's grandparents' farm that he grew up on.
Yeah.
Okay.
On
up
Rolling
in
Acre in Liberty.
Okay.
Right? Is that right?
That's right.
So Acre is a restaurant that's opening in Parkville. It is not open yet. It is chef and owner Andrew Longres. What are you going with there? Longres?
Longres.
Longres. He grew up on his grandparents' farm, so it's going to be obviously farm-to-table restaurants from or the ingredients from around the area and different farms since he grew up on a farm. He used to cook at Blue Stem, which fine dining, the American restaurant, which is also fine dining. So now he's finally opening his own. It's going to be Midwestern fare over a live fire. On the live fire is going to be on a Argentinian basero style hearth.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, so they have
Argentinian barbecue is incredible.
They have this at it's not barbecue. Depends on your definition.
Sounds like
barbecue.
The fire pit that cooking, they're cooking on.
Yes.
Yes.
So they have this at Fox and Pearl. So if you've ever been to Fox and Pearl, you can see like the fire that they they cook everything over a live fire at Fox and Pearl. Same with the Town Company. So this is kind of a new trend, I guess. But you can taste it. Like I had the pork chop at the Fox and Pearl. I think I talked about it on the show. It's amazing. But that live fire that they cook over, it's amazing. So that's going to be like the heart of the restaurant, and everything's going to be centered around that open kitchen concept with the Argentinian basero style hearth.
Basero? Yeah. Yep. And it sounds like everything's going to be like locally sourced from the Midwest.
Oh yeah.
Too,
oh yeah. With a name like Acre. Are you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
Acre, all caps. So most restaurants, they go all lowercase when they're naming a trendy restaurant. This is all caps.
Wonder if there's a secret acronym involved there. Could be.
Well, all caps related
with Acre. All right. Also opening.
They're going to have an outdoor patio too.
Ooh, all for a patio this time of year. Right now, it's hot.
Parkville.
You have 00 Pasta?
That's right.
What's that?
So this is not opening. It's been around for a year, but I just learned about it. So I'm throwing it in the opening category because it's opening to my brain.
Okay.
It's the first time my brain has heard about it. But this is a pretty sweet idea. So this is it's called 00 Pasta. You can follow them on Instagram. It is a local handmade pasta delivery service. So essentially what it is like two people, Mitchell Fagan. I don't know if it's any relation to star of the bachelor party, Matt Fagan, Mitchell Fagan and Leah Steinberg. I think they're a couple. That's what I got out of the article.
Okay.
Don't want to assume. But they just like started making handmade pasta, and Mitchell is a medical student and Leah is a marketer. Like she's does marketing or social media or something. And so Mitchell was like making all this handmade pasta at home. And they had the thought during COVID, like, I think like friends were asking for them to make some. So they decided, what if we just like started selling this online, like on Instagram?
Mm-hmm.
And Leah was like, yeah, I can do the marketing for it and like make it go viral and all this stuff and do good pictures. And so that's what they started doing. They were basically, Mitchell was like, good at making pasta at home. So they just started selling pasta out of their house. They started a company. So now you can go to their Instagram and basically just order pasta until they sell it out. They have a couple pasta maker employees now. You just buy handmade pasta that's being made at home and it gets delivered to your house in like a nice
fresh
packaging with I think those dry ice packets in there. Uh-huh. And there's a single pasta every week. So every week it's just like a different, whether it's, ravioli or
tortellini.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
They're using the local flour. 00 refers to the type of flour that is used.
Okay.
So if you're a baker, there's different types of flour, like all purpose flour. This is 00 flour, which is just a grading of like how fine it is. So it's as fine, the finest flour out there. Fine.
So fine pasta, fine flour.
Exactly. So that's 00 Pasta.
Okay. Closing is Mud Pie on 39th Street. I got a sound effect.
Shouldn't have had such a sloppy mud.
I was going to say Mud Pie.
Shouldn't have had such a sloppy mud pie.
Shouldn't have had such a sloppy mud pie. I'm glad you were. Is that what you were doing while I was talking about?
Sound effect. Shouldn't have had such a sloppy mud pie.
Yeah, better a mud pie closing than beginning, I guess.
Mud pie. big old mud pie.
There is no mud pie.
Mud pie.
Mud pie.
Big mud pie. Mud pie.
Oh, huge mud pies.
Shouldn't have had such a sloppy mud pie.
Stinky.
All right.
All right. Okay, that's if anybody says mud pie, that's what I think of.
I always used to think of Chappelle's Show. Oh, that was Mud Butt.
Yeah,
on Chappelle's Show.
Yeah, when Mud Butt
took the first
desegregated poop.
Yeah, classic.
Poo-poo.
So Mud Pie is closing again. Better than a Mud Pie opening,
mm-hmm.
the beginning of a Mud Pie, I guess. Mud Pie is a vegan bakery on 39th Street. They have another location on 95th and Metcalf area, so that is staying open. But the Mud Pie on 39th Street is closing.
Okay.
The Mud Pie on 95th and Metcalf is staying open. So again, it was
so
a vegan.
You can still
bakery.
Get your mud pies.
You can still get a sloppy mud pie if you so desire. There are many other ways to get a sloppy mud pie, but if you want the cafe and bakery, vegan bakery, then you got to go to 95th and Metcalf now.
Okay. Have you ever had vegan baked goods?
Probably at some point.
I've had like black bean brownies before. You can fake it.
I think here
you can fake
it. I think
it.
Black bean being, you know, the substitute in a lot of things, I think that's a thing of the past.
Why?
I think they have gotten science involved. It's like it's like Sandlot, where like we're moving to science, and they can just like make vegan stuff that's closer. Because like black bean burgers, those are out. It's like Impossible Burgers now, and like, you know, the Impossible Meat and the stuff that is. Black bean burgers are out.
Okay.
Black bean as a substitute, I think that's out. I think that's old. So how is the black bean brownie? That sounds awful.
It's good. You put a lot of cocoa in it. And
put a lot of Coke in it.
Yeah. And then it's not so bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So texture's weird, though.
Yeah.
It's mud pie. All right. Let's move into a little what we tried this week. This week I had not a vegan burger, but a real burger from Berg and Barrel. In
just
Overland
living that,
Park.
Just living that Overland Park
living
life.
Living that
now.
Overland Park life. 75th and Metcalf, Berg and Barrel. Real nice little neighborhood joint. It feels very local when you walk in. They've got a ton of beers on tap, a lot of them being like Boulevard and local breweries. They've got great signage as far as local distilleries, local breweries, local sports teams, great TV setup.
Yeah.
Huge bar.
Yeah.
And just kind of your classic bar menu, great appetizers. They've got.
Did you get a burger?
I got a burger. They've got a great array of burgers too, like from your like spicy with like ghost pepper cheese, mm-hmm. To like the blue cheeseburger to a classic bacon cheeseburger.
Swiss. I get down.
They have
mushroom
Swiss. They do. I went with the cowboy burger.
Yep. Classic onion ring barbecue sauce.
Onion ring barbecue sauce, bacon and cheddar.
Yep.
Which was really good. Big fat crispy onion ring on it. Fries on the side, which were also really good.
Did you get Cajun fries?
Just regular fries. They do have sweet potato fries too, which were also really good.
Mm-hmm.
Would recommend that burger from there. To go was also a pretty good experience because they have the to go boxes with the little holes in them to keep your fries from getting soggy.
Impossible.
So it helps.
Okay.
It's not as fresh, but the holes help. Keep it less soggy.
The mushroom burgers always have a clever name. They went with Baby Bella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of the burgers are very clever named.
Blue Moon, El Diablo.
Yep, they've got a lot. Good selection of specialty burgers.
Solid.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And all of them are Angus beef.
Yeah, I feel like I've been there before, and you're right about the signage. Like, I feel like they just went to all their distributors, like the people who distribute their food and their beer and their alcohol, and they're like, just give us the biggest signs you have.
It's great
and
local
signage. We'll just decorate everything with a sign from our beer distributor.
Yeah, not the best curb appeal, because that's just like an ugly strip
the Osco
mall.
Drug right there.
Yeah.
Or not Osco. The Walgreens.
It was an Osco drug.
It was an Osco drug.
But yeah, just south of there on Metcalf is the Berg and Barrel on the corner.
Right next to the AutoZone, right?
Don't let the curb appeal scare you away because it's beautiful inside and the burgers are delicious.
All right. I'm still on my Euro kick.
Hey,
I don't know
go off,
if
King.
This is a good plan before
eat
your wedding.
A Euro every week?
A Euro a week. So I might take a couple week break here because
you've already gotten your final
it.
Measurements done for that suit.
Yeah, the suit is measured, and it's a California wedding. Yours is, and so I feel like I gotta be I gotta be looking good. I might go get a spray tan. That'd be a good what we try this week.
That would be, because I looked into tanning beds. Still not safe.
Canceled?
Still not safe. I thought by this point, tanning beds would have had technology evolved to not give you skin cancer.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Still getting the cancer?
Still giving it to you.
Damn.
Like at a really high rate.
Higher than the sun?
Yeah. Really high rate. It's like smoking cigarettes.
Should we?
I don't know about that. But it's alarming.
Quote it. Write
it down. It's alarmingly high.
Write it down.
Because I was like, okay, they've figured this out by now, how to make a tanning bed safe.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay.
They haven't.
Dang it. I guess we're getting spray tans.
Spray tans.
So anyways, my Euro a week challenge. I don't know if it's the best idea, you know, before your wedding, but I don't know. Maybe I'll just keep going.
Yeah.
This week I had Max's. Max's burger in Euros, which is on Warnell, in the stretch of Warnell where it's just like every business looks
random.
Fake.
Random business.
Yeah, no zoning. I think that's like what all of Houston
that
is.
That Big
like.
Lots has been gone for a couple of years now.
I don't know.
Nothing coming
in. Oh, yeah,
in.
That Big Lots is. Yeah. I imagine like that is just like what all of Houston is like. Like
all of Texas is one big strip mall.
The stretch between Warnell, between Gregory and 85th Street is just like a snapshot of Houston. But yeah, I had Max's. They're still like not allowing you to eat inside.
I don't know. Every time I go there, I don't know if it is Max, but someone is very grumpy who works.
Oh
there.
Yeah, I assume it's Max.
It could be. He doesn't want you to eat inside.
No, he doesn't even want you to shop.
Yeah,
there.
He doesn't want anybody to eat inside.
It's an inconvenience for you to go to his store and like order a Euro. But I did anyways. And so I ate outside on the little picnic table out front.
Okay.
Felt very good about my life. Mm-hmm. Just eating by myself at a picnic. Because I wasn't going to eat it in the car. Because that thing's a mess.
Yeah, it'll stink your car up.
So Max's, it was good, not great.
Okay.
The pita was very chewy and not like soft and like, but like, you had to really tear and rip mm-hmm. the pita. So that was a downgrade. Not enough onions and on it, and just the lamb meat was cut pretty thick. So I like it more thinly shaved.
Okay.
Off. So yeah, right now I have Max's number 5 out of 6. So
okay.
Refresh of my Euro rankings. Ha-ha's number 1, mm-hmm. Papu's number 2, the Mad Greek number 3, Jerusalem Cafe number 4, Max's number 5, and Mr. Euro's number 6.
Okay.
So Mr. Euro's is still, Mr. Euro's was very average. Max's was a little bit better. But yeah, that's my current top 6.
I haven't had their Euro, but I can vouch for Max's burger.
Okay.
Incredible. Very juicy.
Was it a huge inconvenience for it to be made?
Yes, it was. And you better know what you want on it, or else he'll be upset that you're taking so long to think about it. I was in Philly this weekend, went to Gino's and Frank's, you know, the two famous Philly
okay.
places. And it's very much like, you Gates. Better know what you want, like Gates, or else you're going to get bullied up mm-hmm. there.
That's so, like the scene in Apollo.
Yeah.
So Jesse, is that where they go?
I don't know where they go. Yes, because I stood at the sign that said they filmed here.
Yeah. That Rocky scene here. In that movie, I think it's like real. It looks so real.
So we go up and Jesse orders and says, I want a cheesesteak. And the guy said, okay. She turns to me and says, do you want provolone on it? And I was like, yeah, sure. We can do provolone on this one. Because we had just gotten cheese one was on the other.
Uh-huh.
Turned back around. The cheesesteak is already made, wrapped up, handed to us. And she's like, well, I wanted provolone. The guy said, you said cheesesteak. We put cheese was on it. That's what you said. That's what you get. And we're like, well, we haven't even paid for it. He's like, well, I know. You better pay for it right now. And we're like, all right.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know.
So, where was that? Gino's or Frank's?
That was at Frank's.
Uh-huh.
Gino's was better.
Okay.
So.
But cheesesteak, you good?
Good. Yeah.
We got to go try Tay's.
It would be a fun stop. All right. So that's what we tried this week. Next up, we've got a little State Your Line Investigates.
We haven't done this in a while.
Yeah. Well, we'll put the music in.
Okay.
We got some investigation
music. You don't need me to?
I don't need you to do that.
To hum?
Nuh-uh.
All right. State Your Line Investigates, a.k.a. Someone else with real journalistic initiative and integrity investigates.
Not always.
Not always.
Sometimes I investigate.
Yeah, sometimes you just
got into the bottom of De Pasquale, that fraud.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He was a fraud. The West Bottoms.
Mm-hmm.
It is about to go under a transformation. So a development, real estate development firm called Sumera Road in New York. This is sources close to sources, AKA I have a subscription to the Kansas City Business Journal.
Okay.
Sumera Road development team out of New York has been quietly assembling property in the West Bottoms. They, over the last 6-7 months, have bought 20 different properties in the West Bottoms, 26 acres of land.
Love.
Big developments. They're going to develop it all. So this is mostly like empty warehouses. The reason why this kind of all came out was because they just filed for redistricting because it's all been under the manufacturing district and manufacturing zoning over the last, 100 years or whatever. So they filed for rezoning. So that's when kind of this all came out. They have 5 phases over the next 12 years. So the final phase is due to wrap up in 2035, which is not a real year, as we know. And
there's some college football games scheduled for 2035.
Dude, though. I think James's graduation, he's like the class of 2038, class of 2039.
That just blew my mind.
And yeah, I mean, Madeline would be the class of 2040 or something.
That's stupid.
So anyways,
that's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. Phases, over the entire 5 phases, we're talking 1,200 apartments.
Okay.
Units.
I'm going to buy one.
There you go.
I'm going to buy one.
I bet there's got to be some condos for sure.
On the cheap.
Retail, hospitality, mixed use. There's going to be gyms. There's going to be parks, courtyards. This is a lot of different properties, a lot of warehouses. The first phase is going to tear down like an old warehouse. Obviously, the Kansas City Downtown Council is involved. There's going to be some historic preservation that has to happen because a lot of those buildings are under that type of protection. But I am super stoked about this.
It is
a massive portion, obviously 20 properties, 26 acres of land in the West Bottoms. I'm super stoked about this.
Yeah.
Because if you can get money into that, I mean, a lot of the buildings they were buying, it was like $3 million for this massive, massive warehouse that is basically empty. So it's all going to be redone, and I'm super stoked about it. I can't wait to see what happens.
New York firm is moving an office down to the West Bottoms too.
They do, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are adding an office down there. So this looks awesome. I'm super stoked for the West Bottoms. I've always thought it had a ton of potential, and so did this group, and so maybe you can get in.
Yeah, well, the thing that scares me about that area is just the isolation because of the highways and like how walkable is it to get there from downtown?
Dude, but I mean, we'll have remember the proposal
the gondola?
For the gondola?
If the gondola is
the gondola from downtown.
If the gondola's in, I'm buying an apartment.
It would stop on in the West Bottoms.
So that's the only thing I think of is it's so siloed down there because of just the way
the 12th Street Bridge is
the bottoms. It's the cliff,
it's a cliff
and the drop off.
Uh-huh.
So it's hard to get to on foot. So it would be a little bit kind of its own little area down there. Mm-hmm. But
like a lot of neighborhoods are.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's State Your Line Investigates. The West Bottoms, huge redevelopment. The first phase, let me pull it up here. The first phase is, it's obviously starting now.
Do we have renderings?
No renderings yet, but okay. I mean, we'll be the first to publish the renderings.
I'll get excited once there's renderings.
First quarter of 2023 is when the first phase starts through end of 2025. So that's going to be about 3 apartment complexes in that first one. So,
okay.
It's going to be awesome.
All right. Next up, we got a hey, look, there's KC, Leonardo DiCaprio meme.
Mm-hmm.
Halo Championships. Is this like our, are they like the KC Pioneers?
That's right.
Our esports team?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Microsoft, the, who created Halo, they are starting like this massive tournament and they're hosting like majors across the world. So this is like North America, Mexico, Canada, the UK, Australia, New Zealand, all these different countries competing in a Halo championship. Kansas City got one of three North American cities to host a major. So the major happened this past weekend. So it was a big event, like 250,000 people watching it online. Mm-hmm. A few thousand people going to watch it in person at Bartle Hall. Kansas City got chosen because it's central location, because the KC Pioneers, our esports team, like, has the backing of the city and like things like that. Plus, I guess we have great internet.
Fiber,
baby, mm-hmm. everywhere. Fiber everywhere.
Everywhere but our parents' house. We have great internet.
Yeah.
Everywhere but there.
I heard you this morning trying to fix the internet.
Just had to unplug it and plug it back in, okay. And we're good.
Yeah, back uh-huh. up. But they said that we have great ping here. You know what that means?
Great ping?
Ping?
Nope.
Okay. I assume that means like sending a signal one way and then it coming back to you, which is like what gaming is, right? It
makes sense.
So Kansas City has great ping, according to KC Pioneers.
That way you
CEO.
Don't lag. I've heard that's big.
Lagging's bad.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the support of a lot of local businesses. Jack Stack was one of the sponsors. Guy's Potato Chips, which still hasn't DM'd me back. Even though
those are two things I could not eat when gaming. My hands would get super greasy.
Real greasy.
Imagine trying to eat barbecue and play Halo. Nah.
Nah. Charlie Hustle and Price Chopper, the other sponsors. So the Chiefs were behind it. Like, the Chiefs tweeted about it. You might have seen that tweet. The Royals did as well. Yeah, I mean, an
it's
LA
a big
team
get for esports.
Yeah,
for
an us. LA team won. So I guess it was this team that used to be really awesome, the Sentinels, and they'd kind of fallen off a little bit. But the article I read said the sleeping giant is back. The Sentinels are back. So they are led by Frosty, and then their other players are Lethal with a U,
sweet
Royal Two, Snakebite, and Royal One. Who's the coach?
These are pretty awesome names.
Pretty sweet names.
I did not know. Are these their gamer tags, I guess?
Yeah. Okay. The grand prize, they won $140,000. The Pioneers won $11,000. They finished tied for fifth.
Okay, go Pioneers. All right, so let's see. What do we got next? We've got a little Midwest Mad. Bad water in Kansas City?
Yeah, I forgot to read up on this, but the water in Kansas City has tasted really crappy over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it has to do with some snow melt getting into the Missouri River and rain and other things. Perfectly safe to drink, but that's all I got.
Messing up the taste?
Mm-hmm.
Bummer. I moved to Johnson County, so I haven't noticed.
Yeah.
I have not noticed.
Yeah, it's been bad.
All right, next up we've got our personal pine tars. You know, my life's minor inconveniences that seem to cause some big problems. And for me, it's me versus public transportation again.
Mm.
It's difficult.
In D.C. and Philadelphia?
Yeah. Growing up in Kansas City, you just don't learn how to use public transportation, really.
Yep.
And getting on a train is the most intimidating thing. I tried to scan my credit card to get onto the train.
Yeah.
And it needed a ticket.
Yep.
Didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So then it also said, show your face. It literally said that on the ticketing thing.
Yeah.
So I was there staring at it with my face, thinking it was trying to recognize my face or something.
What was it doing?
I don't know, but okay. I know I look dumb.
Yeah.
I know that. And then we're on the train at the train station, standing there ready to board. The train's not there yet. I turn to the lady and ask, are we on the right side? Mm-hmm. Or do we need to go to the other side?
Oh, I never
know. Where are the doors going to open?
Zero confidence.
And she's like, well, this is a dead end, so You're good on this.
Oh, there's
side.
Only one way it can go. Oh, yeah. That's got to feel great.
Except I didn't look to my left and realize there was no track.
There's no track
over there.
Very dumb.
Very dumb of me. And then
you just need a hat that says I'm from the Midwest. I'm dumb. Help me.
I do. Because that was very difficult. And then getting on the train from Philly to go to DC after that, a couple days later, again, I thought everyone was just cramming into the first car that they saw.
Yeah.
But turns out you get on the first car and then walk all the way back trying to find a seat because there's no assigned seats. So I skipped to the third car and was
you couldn't get on?
Well, I got on, but there's no seats open.
Oh,
because I should have got on the front one so I could check every car for open seats.
Oh, yeah.
But I missed them.
So what'd you do?
Sat in business class.
Nice.
Until I got kicked out. Oh, very soon.
Okay.
Did not take long to get kicked out of there. And then finally found a seat eventually. But I was dragging around a 40-pound suitcase.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare.
That sounds
just
awful.
A nightmare.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the solution is for that. We need a Midwestern training or a mandatory training for everyone who lives in the Midwest on how to ride public transportation.
Yep.
because I have zero confidence in myself either. Like I'm always afraid I'm standing on the wrong side of the platform, and like I'm like, okay, I know I'm at the right like the signs.
But where's
are all
the
things,
train coming?
Am I going the right way? What if I go the wrong way?
Yeah.
What if you went the wrong way?
And even using Google to help, that confuses me too.
It doesn't help. It confuses more than it helps. Okay. So. Yeah, that's tough. I feel you there, dude.
It's the worst.
All right, my personal pine tar. So kids stuff. Kids mm-hmm. stuff. Just stuff in general. Anything you can think of with kids. All of it has like animals on it.
Uh-huh.
Why are these designers of clothes and toys and stickers and books and pictures and paintings, and why are they putting animals that I don't know the noises of, that I can't make the noises of? Like it does me no good. So like James is 20 months old, so almost two, so he's starting to like, he's really communicating, and like you can be like, hey, what noise does an elephant make? What noise does a lion make? Those are... Stop putting giraffes on anything. Just stop it with the giraffes. Stop it with the hippos. Stop it with flamingos. Stop it with zebras. I don't know what noises they make. They don't make noises. So I can't, when we're reading a book or something, like one of the things to do is like make the noise so that he then associates with it. And you know, you form pathways in your brain and all that good stuff. The giraffes and zebras, I can't do anything. So I'm just like, yep, that's a giraffe. Next page. And then it's like, oh, bear, rawr. And like, oh, bird, chirp, chirp, chirp. And James will make the noises with me now. And he loves the elephant, obviously, because it's a hilarious noise.
Mm-hmm.
But all these prints and stuff with giraffes and zebras and hippos and flamingos, it does me no good.
A rhinoceros.
It doesn't do me any good. Mm-hmm. So just don't make anything with animals that don't make noises or that you don't know the noise to.
Need like, more common sounds.
Yeah, give me more frogs, man. That's a fun noise to make.
Uh-huh.
But get out of here, bunnies. I don't need bunnies. I do like hop, 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 but that's not a noise that it makes.
It's not a bunny noise. The only noise I know that bunny makes is when it's being killed. Otherwise, I don't know what sound a bunny makes.
I'll be sure to teach that to James.
It's a life lesson. It's a life lesson there. I feel you there. That's tough.
Yeah.
When you're reading the book and you're like, well, I don't know what sound to make there.
Yeah. Also, I just thought of this as a personal pine tar for others. Like if you're just in a relationship, if you posted on Instagram yesterday, it's hard because everyone's going to think you're pregnant.
Because of Mother's Day?
Yeah, because of Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. So if you're in a relationship and you're like maybe just dating or something, or maybe you're engaged or maybe you're just married and you posted a picture of you and your wife or you and your significant other,
everyone thinks you're pregnant. Yep.
So
you might need to clarify if you're not.
That. Yeah.
All right, let's move into our mixed plate today. We've got our mixed plate of top guests, favorite guests, significant guests over the past 3 years.
Most state your line guests.
Most state your liney guests.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did a little bit of everything.
Good. I like that. I think it's an odd, even episode.
It is.
So that means I get to go first. So my meet number one here, state your line guest. This is
the story of a girl.
This is a good one. This is my meet number one. This is a big one because he's been on a lot. I'm going with Alec Lewis.
Okay, wow.
He brings us all the Royals news we could ever ask for.
Yeah.
He's been on
every
single season, like beginning and end of the season.
Yeah.
He lets you yell at him for all of the Royals' problems, and you act like it's his fault.
Uh-huh.
I see people on Twitter now echoing that sentiment, thinking that the Royals' problems are Alec's fault.
Yeah, I love that.
They're not.
Keep doing it.
But he always gives us good answers. It's always fun to talk to him. Always good to get great insight from him. So going with Alec Lewis, one of my favorite guests.
All right.
Yeah.
Me number one for me, I'm going with Adam and Allie from Boulevard.
Okay.
So Adam Hall and Allie Bush.
Uh-huh.
Right?
That's right.
We got hooked up with them from Truzolo and got along great. And that led to the Boulevard sponsorship, which led to this Let It Fly Media partnership. And it all kind of came together from that interview, interviewing the two of them. Plus, that was a really, really fun interview where we got to pitch a lot of dumb ideas to Boulevard's like lead beer and non-beer, aka Quirk people. And now we have a great relationship with the two of them, and we get to continue to pitch them really dumb ideas.
I know. I can't wait for the Q-Bones merch to come out.
We need it.
Yeah. All right. That's a good pick. My meat number two. Let's see. I'm going to go with, Mayor Q.
Yeah.
Quentin Lucas. I mean, we were.
I always start with that.
We're in the mayor's office, which, starting this podcast, thinking we just interview friends of friends, which he is a friend of a friend.
Yeah, he is.
But to get into the mayor's office, talk with the mayor was pretty incredible and surreal. Especially early on in the podcast. So, Mayor Q, that was an awesome guest.
Yep. All right, my meet number two here, I'm going Austin Ryder.
Okay, professional athlete.
He just got cut.
He did.
Austin, come on the show. We can talk about it. But we had Austin on very early on in the show, too. It was right after we had just won the Super Bowl. So we got to talk to him about winning the Super Bowl. We got to talk to him about just like life as an NFL player. Again, one of those moments where we were like, man, if we could ever get like an NFL, like a Chiefs player, that would be so sick.
Mm-hmm.
And had a really good time with him. And that was just like, I felt like a cool moment in the show's history where I remember asking him about like, cause he was like the first to hug Pat after, at the end. And I fucking love you, man. I love you. And that was caught on asking him about that, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. I get to ask him about what he said to Pat Mahomes right after we won the Super Bowl for the first time in 50 years in the franchise that I love. So, I'll go Austin.
Okay, that's a good one.
Hope he lands on a team.
I know. I wish we would have kept him. Then we could keep interviewing him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be sweet.
All right. I'm going to go with my side number one here. I'm going to go with Mick Schaefer. This was
great interview.
A really fun interview. I think it showed us like that kind of the power of social media a little bit, that hey, we can meet people, make connections through social media. And also it showed us, I think, that pretty much anyone will say yes to an interview too.
Yeah, true.
So don't be afraid to go out and ask people to come on the show. So
yeah.
I'm going to go with Mick Schaefer on that one.
Side number one for me, I will go with, okay, this is a kind of lost. We haven't really talked about this, but I was reminded of it going through the list. GEHA Director of Communications, Christy Allen.
Yes.
This was like immediately after the Royals announced their partnership with GEHA. I have a good friend who works for GEHA in their marketing department. She got Christy Allen, their Director of Communications, on the pod. And it felt like a moment where we were like, oh, we're like kind of like a real show. Like immediately after the partnership's announced, like we get to interview the Director of Communications. It was just a cool moment in the show. And we got to talk about the partnership and what all that means. And, you know, we had like our group chats, our group text message threads were just like, you know, ragging on GHA quite a bit because they didn't want to ruin the mystique of Arrowhead. But, you know, Christy, obviously a pro, was prepared for all that, and we got to, you know, ask her about it all, and it just felt like a cool moment that where we felt like I felt like we were like a real show.
Yeah, we did not know at that time that Arrowhead would be shrunk so much on the back of the scoreboard, and GAHA would be so big,
Or that it would curse the team.
Yeah, and I'm not salty about that still, but it was a good interview, and it was. Really fun to have that immediate reaction too. So, my meat number two,
side number one, I think.
Side number two is I'm gonna go with the only guest we've ever had as a two-part series for episodes. So the interview went so long that we split it into two episodes. Is the Wonder Fuzz?
That's right.
They were on our must get list when we started the show. Way back in 2019, had them, sat down. The interview went like an hour because we were drinking, having fun.
Yeah.
And
remember, we were drinking like Topo Chico's with a shot of tequila in them
and lime before it was cool.
Yeah, it was. Well, it was it?
That was way before it was cool.
Okay.
Those are ranch waters are very cool now.
Okay.
That was like truly hip, like underground a little bit.
All right,
people
sweet.
Didn't know about them.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sign number two for me.
And that was a ton of fun, and that got us our outro song.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Too. Yeah, the outro is Wonderfuzz, if you ever wondered. Look them up. They just came out with a new album.
Mm-hmm.
Hit it up. I tried to repost their album, and it kept on putting this huge like link on it because I reposted it. It was weird. Mm. Side number two for me, I'll go with Mitch Benjamin of Meet Mitch, just because we got a lot of free stuff.
A lot of barbecue.
So an easy way to our hearts is just give us free stuff because we don't expect it and we rarely get it. And so...
what about all that Betty Ray's ice cream we got from...
That was pretty good. Well,
Betty Ray's. Yeah, it was problematic ice cream.
It's problematic. It wasn't problematic at the time.
And it's not anymore.
It's not anymore. It's back. It's under back. New ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Our interview was bad. Previous ownership. But Mitch gave us a bunch of free barbecue stuff, which I still have and use. So, and he had awesome stories about George Brett, awesome stories about the life of a competitive barbecue guy, like on the road, going to all these different competitions around the world. So that's about as Kansas City as it gets if you're talking George Brett and barbecue and opening a restaurant. And then you gave us free stuff. So thank you for that. So that's my meet number two. Side number two.
All right. I left off. Here are some of my other top ones. Maybe recency bias a little bit, but Jesse Cole, the owner of the Savannah Bananas.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Tim Grunhardt, having him was really, really fun too. And then like Bob Kendrick, best storyteller we've ever had on the show too.
Yeah.
A lot of fun.
That was awesome. I had Max Kaniger. Love having him on every time. Tori Fugate from Kissy Pet Project. Mm-hmm. That was an awesome interview. Like, we just totally vibed. She like got our sense of humor right away, and she was super fun. Brad Keller, no big deal. He's dealing.
Yeah.
Tom Martin was the first. We had him on when he was still working for KCTV5.
Chiefs Insider.
And
then
that was his first week or his first day at Let It Fly Media. Mm-hmm. And that's what started the introduction. He literally introduced us to the Ben and Andrew from Let It Fly, and that's how all of this got started. So that was a very important interview. And then Josh Rowland, who's the CEO of Lead Bank, we had on like early 2020. And then that led to an awesome relationship and partnership with Lead Bank that's ongoing. Loved the interview with Tad O'Had of the Missouri Mavericks.
Cole Schultz, the Missouri Mavericks, Kansas City Mavericks.
Is Tad O'Had still there?
I think so. I think Tad is still there. You liked my Instagram photo the other day. No big deal.
Wow.
Yeah, we're buds.
It is Tad O'Had.
We're buds.
Still there.
Uh-huh.
Love it. So yeah, we've had some awesome guests. Thanks to everyone who has referred guests. We are always looking for guests, as you can tell. We've two weeks in a row here without one. But we are always looking for guests. So thanks to everyone who has ever referred us a guest. And thanks for everyone who's listened 3 freaking years.
3 years. So be sure to keep following along at State Your Line on social media. And we'll see you around Kansas City.